This is Beth Smith. I'm interviewing Jim Nance this afternoon. We're at 528 Dodge Street here in Salida, where Jim has his home and his workshop. How you doing, Jim?
Just fine, Beth.
Okay, this is April 7th in 2006. I forgot to say that earlier. Now, Jim, tell us about your early life here in Salida.
Well, I came to Salida here in 1952. It's probably, I think it was January or February. It was cold anyway. I'd been out here in the Army before, and I had stopped in Salida one time, and then I went back to Illinois. That's where I'm from, Springfield, Illinois. And I kind of liked Colorado, so I said, I'll go back out there and see what I can do. When I got out of the Army, though, and I'll get back up a little bit, I got out of the Army, though, in 1953. And so that's when I actually come to Salida, but I was through here in 52. But when I got out of the Army, all the kind of job I could find back there where I was from was driving a beer truck. And I didn't like that too well. I didn't like to handle those kegs all day long and all that. So I said, I told my folks I was coming back out here. So I came back out here. I think it was January or February. I can't remember. And I went to work at the home bakery at that time for Marvin Danhauer. And I worked there for 13 years. And then from there, I went to the Postal Service, and I retired out of the Salida Post Office down there in 1990, and I'd been there for 28 years. And that's about as far as my employment goes. I did work a while for Johnny Byrne Heating and Metal Shop, but that was a two-time job. I worked at the post office at nights, and I worked for Johnny Byrne in the daytime.
That kept you busy.
Yes, I was pretty busy at the time, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your parents. What were their names?
Well, my dad's name was George Nance. And my mother's name was Marie. She was named Workman. And my dad was from, right there from where we came from there. Well, it was a little town there, about 14 miles from Springfield. And we were farmers out there in the country. And it was near Petersburg, Colorado. And my mom was from what they call Cantrell, Colorado, and that's about 7 miles there from Petersburg. And they got married, I don't know when. I know my dad was born in 1890, and my mom was born in 1900.
Now, these towns you're mentioning were back in Illinois? Yeah,
those were back in Illinois.
Okay,
uh-huh. That's where my folks lived, back in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, when I came out here, well, of course, we've been back there about every year so far. And yeah. Both my folks have been out here to visit a few times. And they didn't, neither one liked to live here. But all my dad always thought about the mountains. He would look up there and say, I can't see why that snow up there is a lot closer to the sun than we are. And I said, I can't understand why that snow is not melted.
Good thought. You have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I do. I have 5 sisters and 4 brothers. And, let's see, all my sisters are still living, and two of my brothers have passed away, so there's only 8 of us left. Mm-hmm. And they're all married. They all live, I'm the only one that lives out of state. They all live around the state of Illinois there.
That's so they can come visit you.
Yeah, that's the price we pay, I think, for living in Colorado.
Absolutely.
So, I've enjoyed it here. Like I say, I've been here since then for over 50 years. And me and my wife got married in 1953. She's a local girl. Her name was Regina Aragon at the time. And she graduated out of Salida High School. And she worked at the hospital when we got married. She was down there. She was a lab technician at the hospital. And then after Dr. Mijos came, and Dr. Leonardi, she went to work for them. And she worked for them for 36 years. Down there, and then she retired, I think, in 95, I think it was, about 5 years after, 4 years after I did. So I don't know, Beth, what else we need to talk about here.
Well, you got to tell me when you were born.
Oh, I was born August 3rd, 1931.
Yeah.
And back in, was in Sangamon County, in Springfield, Illinois there. But I was born on a farm. We was farming 240 acres at the time. My dad and my brothers. We did a lot of farming. My dad did most of it. Our brothers, you know how brothers are. We always goofed off if we could till we got caught at it. But that's the way kids were in those days.
Yeah.
And we lived by the Sangamon River there, and we used to be down there fishing when we should have been working. And naturally, we'd get caught at it. And back in them days, the results was a little different than it is nowadays when you got caught doing something. I think people understand what I'm talking about, don't you, Beth?
I think so, yes.
There wasn't that such thing as child abuse, I don't believe. That
yeah,
I remember. There probably was, but not where I was from.
Well, you settled down by the Arkansas River. Do you do a lot of fishing?
Well, I used to, uh-huh, yeah. I don't want to get into that, Beth.
Uh-oh, why?
Well, I hate to fish the Arkansas with all those boulders down there.
Oh, I see.
It kind of disrupts my fishing, and I don't like that too well.
You have to find another place to go fish.
Yeah, well, I do. I fish a lot. I used to fish a lot of high lakes when I was young enough to climb up in there. I used to feed a lot of them on Monarch and a lot of them over in San Luis Valley up over there on the eastern range, the San Cristo Range up in there. We used to do a lot of packing up in there, and ones above St. Elmo, Colorado. There's some pond up there in the Ponderoy Lakes, and up in there we used to have a lot of them up in there. There was an upper Pomeroy and lower Pomeroy. Me and my neighbor Paul Nelson, he lived next door to me. He passed away last year, and we used to do a lot of walking and fishing up in there.
Did you hunt too?
Yes, I used to hunt all the time. Matter of fact, I quit deer hunting, though, I think, about 20 years ago, deer and elk hunting. And at that time, they opened up the duck season in October, so that's what we hunt now. In October, it's like people I say, I've had two Labrador retrievers that I used for hunting ducks, and they used to ask me, how come you quit elk hunting, Jim? And I say, well, my dog has trouble retrieving them. So I gave that up. So anyway, but I haven't been hunting now for the last 2 years. But I just quit about 2 years ago. We used to hunt a lot in the San Luis Valley, along to the Sleight of Gun Club over there. That's about, I think, 11 miles south of Sawatch. And we hunted over there for years and years. Some guys here that was a native of Salida hunted with me, a guy by the name of Wayne Young. I don't know if anybody remembers him or not. He passed away 2 years ago. And then I hunted a lot with Dr. Veltri. Me and him hunted a lot over there. And, of course, my son, he hunts with me, too. So we got, I don't do it much anymore. They still go over. He still goes over. And I don't know if Dr. Veltri does or not.
Well, tell us about your kids.
Well, I got four kids. Two of them lives here. One lives in Elko, Nevada. Then I got one that lives up in Fort Lupton, Colorado. My oldest daughter, probably a lot of people here probably knows her. That's Joyce Reno. She's the county clerk here. And she was born in 1954, I think it was. 54, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of confusing on all these dates, so.
Hard to keep them straight.
Yeah, it is for me. I can't hardly remember what I did yesterday. So it's kind of hard for that.
So you got four kids now. How many grandkids do you have?
I got nine.
Nine?
Uh-huh. And I got three great-grandkids.
For goodness sake.
Yeah. Yeah, we got three of them up there. Like I say, the grandkids, we got a few lives here, then the rest of them live out of here. And anyway, I was going to tell you, too, about... And then my son, he's the only one I have, is Mike Nance. And he's the postmaster in Buena Vista. He's been up there for 15 years now as postmaster. And then my next daughter, she's out in Elko, Nevada, and she's a head librarian out there in Elko, Nevada, the library. And then my other daughter, my youngest daughter, she married one of the locals. He was a music teacher here in Salida, John Hoag. And now he's a superintendent up in Fort Lupton. And she's a secretary to one of the big boys that reads stars over there at Boulder, University of Colorado. That's what she is over there. And then I got, like I say, I got a granddaughter that lives in Alamosa. She works for a court over in, where the hell is it, over there in that town across from... Well, anyway, it's right close to right close to Monta Vista there. So I can't think of it. Now anyway, she works in the court. And then I got another daughter that lives here. She lives with her mom and dad. Another granddaughter there. So, and I think she's, I don't know, she's a waitress right now, I think, over at a Chinese restaurant. And then I got a grandson that's in college in Boulder over there. And then I got one in high school here and one in high school at Fort Lupton. And we got one out in Elko now, in Nevada. And he's going to be graduating over there in June. And I think that pretty much covers my family. Yeah.
Well, that's over pretty there. Big family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But I, like I say, I come from a family of 10 kids, and my wife comes from a family of 11. So we all had brothers and sisters, and she's got quite a few of them living around here yet.
Well, that's good. Family's important. Let's back up to your service during the World War II.
World War II, I'm not that old, Beth.
Oh, aren't you?
I was in the Korean War.
The Korean War, okay.
Yeah, I was over there in Korea there for I think it was 19 months. I went in on the Incheon landing over there. I was in the 3rd Division over there, and we went in with the 1st Marine Division over there and cut them off over there, and then that's when, after that, he pulled out Douglas MacArthur, or he was ready to go up through China at that time and go get Russia. Anyway, they pulled him out. That's why I went in there, and then we got evacuated at Hung Nam up there during the winter over there. They surrounded us and cut us off, and we got out of there. And also at that time, my younger brother, he was there. He was in the 1st Marine Division, and he was up there with the Marines in that division there. Yeah. Although I never did get to see him over there. Then we never did get that close.
Were you in the Marines, too?
No, I was in the Army.
You were in the Army.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in the Army. When I first went over, I was a machine gunner over there. And then after that, they transferred me to the artillery, and I was a forward observer for the artillery for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to machine gunner. Uh-huh. I never was wounded or anything, so...
Lucky you.
Yes, I was. I was pretty lucky because automatic weapons, what everybody was always after, so...
Yeah.
But there was quite a few of them over there, and war is no fun for nobody. I don't think anybody ever wins.
You're right.
That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But then I discharged, like I say, and I come out here, when I got back from Korea, while I was in up in Chicago for a while over there, and that's the coldest place on earth. And then after that, then they transferred me out here. I was transferred out here to Fort Carson, and out there I was a tank commander, and I'd never been in a tank in my life. I rode on top of them, but I was in the infantry all my life. And then they sent me back to Fort Knox, Kentucky for armored school for tanks, because I had the rank of a sergeant first class, and I had to be a tank commander, and I didn't know diddly about tanks. And anyway, I couldn't make them understand that I was getting out. I wasn't going to stay in. But the day I got get ready to get discharged, they had two colonels come in and talk, try to get you to stay in. But I said, no, you guys always wanted me to pull guard duty when I wanted to do something else. So I said, I've had enough of this. So then when I got discharged, like I say, before I went back to Illinois there and worked for a while on the beer truck, and I didn't like it, so... Come back out here, and I worked for Marv Danhauer, like I said, for a long time.
What did you do for the bakery?
I was a baker. He taught me how to be a baker. I went to baker school. I went to decorating school.
Hey, that's
so I was a baker for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
For 13 years.
You're the bread man, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, right. So I don't know, Beth, if there's anything else here. I think that about covers my life.
Well, we're sitting in a workshop here.
I started doing this. It's a video shop here that I have. I started doing this in 1986, and it was more or less of a hobby, and I had a video camera. Well, probably about the first, he told me, it was about the first one in Salida. I don't know. It was a black and white one. We used to carry a VCR around, and I still have the VCR operating on a battery, and you put a tape in it, and... The camera looks something like one of the old 8mm home movie cameras. So we, and I had that there for a while, and I went to the other, then when they come out with their colored cameras, I had those, and now I do up all the way up to DVDs and transfer a lot of 8mm home movies and do a lot of weddings and special events at the high school and other things, other programs. Steam Plant I've done. Calliope I do. Do a lot of things up in there. And like I say, I transfer a lot of DVDs, I mean a lot of VHS tapes to DVDs for people that want to conserve them. They tell me, I don't know, I had a call one time, I had a railroad tape here, but it was from part of the Rio Grande, and had the archives up from Denver call me here about, I don't know, 2 years ago. At that time, or 3 years ago, I guess, at that time I wasn't doing many DVDs, and they just come out, I think, about 4 years ago for us to start using them. And they called me and they said, we'd like to have a copy of that Rio Grande. It was from around this area here. I did a little bit of that around here. And he said, can you put it on a DVD for us or a CD? And I said, no, I can't. I said, I can put it on a tape, on a VHS tape. I got, well, this, and what I'm going to tell you about here is this guy told me, he said, well, a VHS tape's only good from about 25 to 30 years and it starts fading out. But a DVD, says, is good for at least 100 years. So right away I kind of laughed and I said, who cares? I'm not going to live to be 100 years. And the guy laughed and he said, well, but anyway, I did finally get him one that I sent up last year to him. And I don't know where it's got. They got it in railroad stuff there, I guess, in Denver somewhere. I don't know. But that's about it of my hobby out here, my workplace out here. And like I say, I keep real busy out here. I always have something out here that I have to work on. And people have been real nice to me. And I suppose, Beth, I do a good job or they wouldn't be doing it. I never do any advertising, right, by the way. I never have advertised any place. I do have license for all this, sales tax and for the business and that kind of stuff.
So where did you learn to do this kind of stuff?
Well, I took a course from Omaha, Nebraska back in 1985. It was starting to be on the video stuff at that time, and I took a course in that. It was about I don't know, 10 months course, and then they send you everything you have to do, and you have to. And you have to rent little things from them so you can, you know, work on them. At that time, the VCRs and stuff wasn't much. A lot of it was this other. Oh, they had all kinds of different kinds of tapes and things like that. And then they give you a test on it and all that. So,
but do you get a license or something when you finished?
Well, I had a diploma, but I don't know where in the heck it's at.
Oh, that
was a long time ago.
Wall.
No. I did. I do have up on the wall over here, though. I do have a thing that I did one time for Channel 9 out of Denver over there. That was kind of a funny thing. I don't know if some might remember that when there was an airplane crash down there in Howard on a lake. Do you remember that, Beth? About, well, I'd have to look. The copy of the check is right up there. And there's a date on it. Anyway, they was taking this body over to Alamosa, and the guy got off course and he had to crash land in the lake. And I think that time, well, one of the doctor's husband was down there with him. The doctor, I don't know, she's down at the family there. She's the lady doctor down there.
Reeves.
Yeah, Dr. Reeves. This Jim Reeves. I think Reeves was with this guy, and he's the only one. He had to walk out, try to get help for the pilot. The pilot was injured and couldn't walk out. But anyhow, couldn't get out. I guess it was a bunch of snow, from 6 to 8 feet of snow he had to go through. And he barely made it out, and by the time he got back, well, got some help up, boy, the pilot had already passed away. Anyway, Channel 9 out of Denver at that time was kind of rainy and snowy and uglier up here. So they called me, and I think Bill Murphy told them at the time that I did that kind of stuff. So they called me and wanted to know if I'd go take some pictures of those people up there in that airplane wreck. And I told them, well, yeah, I'll do that, but I said, I don't take pictures of dead people, so don't expect any kind of pictures like that. And they said, well, that's fine. We'll get what you can. So when I got up there, they were just about ready to bring out the body of the pilot. And I happened to know the corner from Canyon City. I used to trap shoot with him. And that's another thing I did when I was here, too. And I used to trap shoot with him. And he recognized me right away, and I told him who I was and what I was doing. And he said, fine. He said, they're bringing out the body now. And I said, well, can I don't want to get a picture of him. And he said, no, it's fine. He said, because he said he's on a sled and he's covered up. So I did do that. I got that right there. Anyway, I ended up with about 15, 20 minutes of videotape. And then as I was coming out, while Channel 9 was coming in, they'd got through the snowstorm and was coming in, and they stopped and talked to me, and I said, I got what you want here, I think. And he said, fine. He said, well, we'll go out there. He said, I'll meet you out at the airport as soon as we get back to slide, he said. And I said, okay. And I said, well, how soon are you going to put this on? He said, right now. I said, if you go home, after you give it to me in 5 minutes, you'll see it on the air. So they was out at the airport. They had their portable truck out there that they do all that kind of stuff with. I come home, was on the air, and in my tape they used, I think, 3 minutes of it. And then the guy from program director called me and said, well, Jim, what do you want to do? He said, do you want me to pay for this tape, or will we just put your name on it, JR Productions, as we do this tape? And I said, well, how much do you pay? And at that time he said, well, we pay about $150. I said, I'll take the money. I said, I don't need my name on it. And anyway, they showed it, I don't know, 3 or 4 times on TV, and that was about my extent. And I've had them call me before. They wanted me to ride a snowplow up on Monarch, and I wouldn't go on that. So So I said, nah, I don't want to do that. But anyway, that's what's been my extent on that kind of stuff. But I do a lot of public stuff here, and I do a lot of stuff out here on TV, like out here at this cornfield, this farm thing here that he gives the corn away, Tony. Gives this corn and stuff away to all the people in town here that want it, the missions and all that, Buena Vista. Missions get it. This cornfield is out there across from Skagit, Beth. Maybe you've seen it.
Yeah.
And Tony Madone is the one that does all that farming. And I go out there from the time he starts plowing till after he gets done harvesting. And then we make a short DVD out of it so he can take it around for advertising, showing what people do.
Good.
And that's one of my community projects, which is no charge for that either. So, and then right now I'm working on one for this after-school thing for the kids over at St. Joseph School.
Mm-hmm. Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on that right now. That's another thing we're going to do for the community. And that's about it, Beth. My life as a videographer, I guess.
Well, it sounds like fun. You enjoy it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I enjoy it. I like to do it, and like I say, we do just about everything. We make DVDs, we transfer them, we put still pictures on DVDs, about everything you want. Anything that's done with that, why, I can usually do it.
Well, now just think for a minute, Jim. When you first came to Salida, and you know Salida now, what do you see the changes, the differences?
Well, I don't know. As far as population-wise, I don't understand what people are talking about. That I know the county's grown to hell a lot, but I don't think Salida has much. Because I was working on, well, I didn't actually work on. I know the guy very well. They had the 2000 census here, and he said the city of Salida is still just under 5,000 in the city limits. So like I say. The downtown is a lot different, I can tell you that.
How?
Well, there's nothing downtown like there used to be anymore. Because you can take, it's coming down F Street there, say from 100 block, you used to have the men's shop, and there was a shoe store. Then there was a Moto Day, a dress shop. And there was an insurance place, and naturally there was the home bakery right on that one half block right there. And then across the alley, of course, with Patterson Hardware, and then you had Woolworths, and on the store on the corner there, there's a grocery store. I think Safeway was there at that time. Then they moved out and built their building, and then the Boys Market went in there. And then across, naturally, there was the First National Bank. And on down there, on the other side of that, there was a clothing store called Everybody's by Archie Costello. Then there was Cruz Bags, and there was a barber shop down on the end, down in there. And across the street was public service. They had a big thing there. They used to do a lot of work here in Salida. And then I think there was Well, downtown at that time, I can't remember, there was about four restaurants, I believe, or five. Let's see, there was Andon's Cafe downtown, and there was an Indian Grill, and Leo's Cafe, and Bar, it was a restaurant over there. And it seemed to me like there was a couple more there. Can't remember. Then they had a candy place down there where they had used to make candy down there. They used to call it the Greeks, where they made candy down there. And then they had two drug stores. Then they had another grocery store across the street there, Billy Burns's Market. Then they had one on the corner down there. It was called a Slida Market. And they had another grocery store. The City Market was over on G Street. And they had another hardware store over there. See, there was one, two, three hardware stores. And down on Lower F, there was a clothing store down there, too. They call it Doveton's. And that's in there where I think the Hot Shots are in there now. But there was a whole big building there at that time. It wasn't separated. And then there was another bar there. And then there was another bar on down the street there. And on down on by the end of the block down there was Neil's Cafe. That's where that sandwich shop is now. Then they had another restaurant on down. Park Cafe was on down, close to the river. And of course, naturally, they had the hotel there. It's always been there. And they had another hotel over there where an empty lot is over there, across from the mortuary there, across from the park. There was a big hotel there. There was a big hotel there. And there's another restaurant over there on the corner up this way from the mortuary there. There was another cafe right there. Of course, Chevrolet Garage is in there now where that furniture store is there. On the corner there.
There have been a few changes, all right. Do you remember the railroad?
Oh, yeah. They was going good there. My wife's brother worked on the railroad, and so does my father-in-law worked on the railroad. My neighbor worked on the railroad. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was carrying mail right down in there when they tore the depot down. I was right down in there beside it there when they brought in the thing and tore the depot down. And the bridge. There used to be a railroad bridge across the river. I was carrying mail right there on that part of town at that time. I was down there when they started wrecking it. But they used to have two passenger trains a day through here. And then the mail used to come in. And when I first started working post office, well, we used to have to go down there and meet the train. The mail would come in on the train, too. But that's been a long time ago, Beth. A lot of things has changed since then. A lot of different people. I used to say to myself, boy, there's a lot of old people in this town, and now I'm one of the old people, I guess. But a lot of the old people that I knew are gone. So, but like I say, it changes, so that's the way life is, comes and goes.
Can you remember any characters that lived in Salida that made everybody sit up and look at them?
Yeah, there was some, what they called the Quats, it was the Garduno twins that used to be around town a lot, and they used to do a lot of work for people, but they'd do it just almost for nothing. But they, you know, they were nice boys, they weren't that intelligent, but they were pretty good kids.
What were their names, you remember?
No. That was supposed to come out on here?
Sure.
Did it?
Well.
That was my wife. They're calling, telling me she's going to go visit her brother. Yeah, that's about it. And of course, we all had a lot of characters running around there that used to be there. Used to have a lot of them come around boat race time. They used to have a bunch of clowns there. Fred Paquette was one of them. He was always the sheriff that arrests people and all of that. He was always dressed up like one of the old time sheriffs, and they had people, and he always used to have a hanging and this kind of stuff around like that. And then when I first came, that was about the first year, I think, of the boat race, or second year, somewhere in there. Just before that, they had Days of 49, which was about the same celebration as the boat race. But then a lot of the organizations, the service organizations like the American Legion and VFW and all them were real active at that time, too, and I belong to both of those. And then I've been in Elk now for 36 years. And I bowl a lot. I'm out to Bowling Alley. I've been bowling out there now for about 32 years. So we've had a pretty good life here. And like I say, I don't get around as good as I used to anymore, but I guess when you get old, that's the way it happens. Or whatever it is. Let's say older, not old, huh?
No, never old. What do you like best about Salida?
I don't know. Probably the people, you know, that you deal with. Most of them are real nice people. There's a few jerks, don't get me wrong. Every town has them. But most people I deal with, I have a good time with them. Most of them, if they come in here grouchy, they usually leave here when they're usually leave here kind of happy. I have a tendency, I think, just people told me that I have a tendency to kind of cheer them up.
They cheer always, them up, yes.
They always come around to see me.
That's good.
But it's hard to never get mad at anybody. But the only thing I get mad about is politics, so I don't want to talk about them.
No, don't talk politics.
That's the only thing I get mad about. Like I say, we used to do a lot of trap shooting here at that time. I remember the trap range out here that when it was the Isaac Walton Gun Club, I run that out there for about 15 years. I was the range master out there.
Oh, where is that? Where was that?
Out there that the city bought that property. They traded to the fishing game.
Oh, it was out by Crown's Lake then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started out there with one trap house and a hand pulling trap. And when we ended up about 15 years later, we had 5 electric traps and 4 trap houses out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get some shooters from all over the state, some out of Kansas, Nebraska. They used to come here. We used to have, when we had our regular registered trap shoots, they call them, we used to have, maybe 100 shooters, 125 shooters at that time.
What an activity.
It was. It was real. You were good that way. Then, like I say, I don't know what happened. I guess it got expensive for everyone, and like everything else, you know, it kind of, and then I quit, and so then I quit and started bowling. That was when I started bowling.
Got to keep busy.
And the only thing about bowling is a lot easier than playing golf. The ball always comes back. I don't have to chase it. So that's why I like
bowling.
I've
never heard that one before.
But it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But I do play golf, too, once in a while. Now, I don't know, Beth. I think we're about done with this here.
Well, you've really covered your life pretty well.
I would say so, yeah.
Thank you, Jim. You've done a fine job.
So I don't know.